All right, who's ready to continue our Red Series? Are you ready to receive the word of the Lord today? Come on, can't hear you. Are you excited to receive the word of the Lord? Now, today I'm going to tell you, I'm going to talk to you about a message that transformed my life. I don't think any message I've ever shared at Destiny has had more of a personal impact in transforming my life than the message I'm going to share today. Last week we talked about His blood makes me righteous. If you, the Red Series stands for the blood of Jesus. And His blood makes me righteous. As we discovered in the first week that when Jesus died upon the cross, that all who accept this work of the cross of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, now the doorway that was once shut by sin in the garden is now reopened back up when you apply the blood to your life. It opens back up the communication between us and God. It allows us to be worthy enough to be in the presence of God. Last week we talked about His blood is what makes me in right standing with God. Righteousness means in right standing with God. We learned last week that our account is Jesus' account and His account is ours. The Bible says it was accounted to Abraham righteousness, meaning this, it is accounted, it was put into his account righteousness, not because of anything he did to deserve it, but because of God's grace. And the Bible is also very clear that when we accept Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross for us, that Jesus takes our account, God takes our account, He empties all of our sin into Jesus' account. He takes all of Jesus' account and He empties it back into our account, all of His righteousness. Wow, are you kidding me? He empties out Jesus' account into our account. He empties out my account into Jesus' account. And now my credit is good once again. Come on now. We're back in the red, all right? Come on, some of you are going to get that today. We're back in the red. My credit is good now. Why? Because Jesus has switched accounts with me. So today I want to talk to you about the thought that are you married to grace? Are you married to grace? Some of you are like, I ain't married at all, Pastor. If you didn't know this or not, you have been married. We'll prove it here in Scripture and we'll talk about it. But are you married to grace? Come on, all the single ladies. All the single ladies. Are you married to grace? Let me ask you this question. Are we under the law or are we under grace? Well, maybe this. Maybe you're like this. I know Jesus came to fulfill the law, but are we truly free from the law? Or are we under grace? Or is it kind of a bridge and balance between the two? It's kind of can be a very gray area for many people. And so what I want you to do today is we're going to open this up. We're going to look at what the Bible says. Let's just see what the Bible has to say about this issue right here, about the old life. If you want to know today what the Bible says, it's always good just to open it up and see what it says. Romans 6:14, look what it says. For sin shall not have dominion, come on, control over you, for you are not under the law, but we're under grace. Someone should say amen right there. That one scripture alone should get you excited for the rest of this message, because the Bible says we're not under the law, we're now under grace. What is the law? The law, of course, many of us are familiar with the Ten Commandments given in the first book there, but we see, listen, now, where the first five books of the Bible, we had only the Ten Commandments given, but God came up with this incredible list of do's and don'ts that He wanted us to do. And this list was so big, and it was so much, it was things that there was no way we could live up to this expectation. So why did God give us this list if we couldn't live up to it? Well, let me tell you why God gave us a list of a standard that was so high there was no way we could live up to it. Why did He do that? Because God was trying to do something. God was trying to show us that His standard is perfection. If you don't know this, God's standard is perfection. God is a perfectionist. And His standard was perfection. But the good thing is this, He's also embodied in grace and love. So even though He set a standard of perfection, He also knew there was no way that you and I could live that out. So He made another way. And He said, once a year, I want you to take and sacrifice the lamb And this would cover the sins of this past year. And so once a year, they would have to take the lamb. They would have to sacrifice it. Remember, they would go to the priest as well, and they would sacrifice it. And this was given to for atonement for all the sins of their year. And then if on a special occasion, if we had somebody who wanted to go into the presence of the Lord, and it wasn't that one time of year, then they would also have to take and sacrifice the lamb and make themselves clean ceremonially wise going before the Lord, because that's the only way they could actually go into the presence of the Lord. Now, fast forward. There was a plan there. We can't live up to God's standard. The only way that we can be fulfilled in God's standard was to sacrifice the blood of the lamb. Fast forward, he sends Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, who now becomes what? The Lamb of God, the perfect one without spot or blemish. He now died on the cross for our sins, and everybody who applies the blood of Jesus to your life is now covered by the blood of Jesus. No longer is it only atonement, but now it is also deleted, forgotten. And it's called God's grace. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it, but it's God's grace in our life. And so today, but the problem is this, that many of us are still stuck in this law. Many of us are still stuck here. The Bible says that we are the bride of Christ. Did you know we've all been married before? We've all been married before. Look what it says in Scripture, Romans 7, 1 through 4. Or do you not know, brethren? Brethren? I like that word, brethren. Don't you feel really spiritual when you say the word brethren? I don't know. I just feel really spiritual. Brethren. My voice even drops when I say brethren. Okay. For I speak to those who know the law. Look what it says now. That the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Then he goes on to share about the laws of the land and share an illustration about this. He goes, for the law, say this, for the woman who has a husband, she's bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. And this time, there was no way you could get a divorce unless it was by death. And so he's quoting the law this time. Hey, by law, you got to stay married until the spouse dies. Look what it says. But if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she'll be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's free from that law, so that she is no longer an adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be what? Married to another. Who is the other? Him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear the fruit of God. Spiritually, we used to be married to the law, but when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says now we become married to Christ. We have been married to the one who was raised from the dead. We just celebrated him a few weeks ago when the stone was rolled away and the resurrection morning. And we know that is Jesus. So now we are married to Jesus, no longer married to the law. So let's think about this. Who is our ex? It's the law. I used to be married to the law. You know, and the law really pointed out my mistakes. The law was really overbearing. The law was a perfectionist, dominant in my life. It was not a very pleasant person to be married to. You know, when my wife and I first got married, we laugh about it now because we had a lot of silly things that we let bother us that were really not that big of a deal. Anybody know what I'm not talking about? When you first get married, you have a lot of little silly things that bother you. And the longer you're married, the more you realize that was immature or that was really silly. There's a lot more things to worry about than some of the petty things we were dealing with when we first got married. I remember when we first got married that I learned something really fast. See if you husbands can agree with this. That my wife's definition of clean is different than my definition of clean. Okay, you see what I'm saying? My wife's definition of clean was different than my definition of clean. You know, she could leave and maybe there were seven things that need to be done before she got home. And I would do like five of them. Like I would do like get the kids baths, get their homework done, get them ready for bed. Maybe we picked up some of the clothes around and the kids cleaned the room. I had like five out of the seven things done before she got home. And when she would walk in, I was like, I ain't trying to brag at all, but you know, five. I got like five of them done. But she couldn't see the five I got done because all she could see was the two that were not accomplished. And she wouldn't say anything, but she'd go to the sink and be like, well, I guess I'm going to have to come home and do the dishes too. Nobody today wants to do these dishes. They've been here all day, and nobody wants to take time to do them. I guess I'll work and come home and do the dishes. And I'll get the laundry off the table that's been here all day folded, and I'll go ahead and put them up, and everybody's yours. I'm like, I did five. But I did all this other stuff. And for many of us, that's the way the law is in our life. The law that says, you know what, you've done some good things, but you know what? I see the bad. And it drives it. My wife learned this a long time ago. If she really wants to motivate me to do something good, she'll brag on me for the one thing I do good. Oh, Dad did dinner. Dad cooked dinner tonight, guys. Let's give him a hand. It didn't burn. It actually tastes really good. You know, she was like really excited. And she knows that when she does that, it motivates me to want to help more and do more. But she knows the opposite about me is very true. You start nagging about the one thing I didn't do, and I won't do anything else again. Come on, man. Come on. Now someone give me an amen. That's the way we're built, right? And that's the way the law was too. The law was nagging at us. The law nagged at us. You didn't do this right. You got to do this. You forgot to do this. And it would bring you like, Are you talking about Debbie Downer? The law was a Debbie Downer. It didn't motivate for any change. But how many are thankful today that we are not motivated by the nagging of the law today? We've been set free from that. Now we are married to grace, and grace comes in and says, I see the greatness in you. I see what God's blood has covered you. I see what God is doing in your life, and there's something greater for you. I thank you that you gave your life for me and serving me. God's grace covers us now, and it motivates me to live right. I don't live right because I'm trying to make myself righteous. I've been made righteous, and it springs me forward with a desire to say, now I want to live right for God. Not because of the law and all the rules and regulations that I keep, the good I try to do. No, I try to do that because of God's grace in my life. And the more I realize I used to be married to the law according to the Bible, but now I'm married to grace. It sets me free. There's only one problem. The Bible says that the law will never die. The law will live forever. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says the law will never die and it will live forever. So if I gotta wait for the law to die before I can be separated and free to marry, how's that work, Pastor? Woo, just read it. Well, the great news is this. The law won't die, but spiritually, you and I can die. You and I can die. Look what it says here now. Look at the scripture. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, that when we accept Christ, for if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is the great news. The law doesn't die. I die, setting me free from that law of marriage I used to be in. And now I'm resurrected in Jesus, free to marry Jesus, free to be married to grace in my life because I have been dead to the law, dead to good works, dead to trying to please God on my own. Now I walk into this marriage of grace that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it says all things become new. This is life-changing. It's the beauty of our story today. that Prince Charming came to us when we didn't deserve it. And he puts on the new robe around us, and he separates us from where we used to be, and he brings us into his castle to live with his kingdom, and says, I am going to take care of you. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. I'm just going to lavish this love upon you. This is grace to us. I want you to write these three things down. Number one, the law cannot justify. The law cannot justify. The law in itself doesn't bring justice to our life. Romans 3:20 makes it very clear. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. So you can try to justify yourself by doing good deeds, following all these spiritual laws, trying to do all these things you think are pleasing God. But if your motive is to do that because you're trying to justify yourself, it's not going to work. Verse 28 concludes that therefore we conclude that a man is justified by what? Faith. Not by the works of the law. We're justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Are you following? We are only justified when we believe in the work of the cross. When we believe that Jesus, you were the Messiah. You died on the cross and took my sins there. I'm a sinner. You took my sins to the cross. You nailed them there. And when I cover your blood with my life, spiritually in my life, and say, God, I thank you. I accept the work of the cross in my life. I am now covered with the blood of Jesus. By faith, I believe. By faith, I receive. And by faith, I become justified. I didn't earn it. It's called grace, baby. It's called grace. Quit trying to serve the old law. Quit trying to serve the old exes you used to be married to. You're no longer married to that. You have been set free. That ball and chain has been cut out of your life. You're now free to live with grace. You're now free to live with God. No longer do I come in and say, I'm not worthy to worship. I can't worship God today. I've had a bad week. Oh, I messed up this week. And man, no. Now I can come in. God, I know. Man, there's some things I need to change in my life. But I tell you what, I am thankful that your grace covers the multitude of sins. I'm thankful today that your grace covers my life. And my praise is not about me. My praise is about you and your goodness and his grace in my life. See, the law has no power to justify us. Galatians 3, look what it says. Oh, foolish forestaters. Don't you see that? See, Paul was writing to some people. He was asking them a question. See, they were having the same problem back then as we have today. That they were accepting Jesus by faith, but then after they accepted Jesus by faith, they were trying to live out the law. And so he asked them, okay, oh foolish forestaters, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Okay, he just answered this question. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He's like, all right, the upper room experience happened. The day of Pentecost happened. The Spirit was poured out. Did you receive that by faith? Or did you receive all that because you were following the law? I was like, we know that. We know. It was by faith. And so he was trying to say something to them. Listen, if you received it by faith, then quit trying to serve the law. You know, if we had somebody that came to us and said, listen, I know I've been a horrible person in my past. You know, I break about 4 of the top 10 commandments all the time. But I was reading the Bible the other day. And I read the Ten Commandments, and after reading the Ten Commandments, I decided I'm no longer going to do those things. You were like, okay, that's great, but I still don't trust you. I still don't trust you. Why? Because we know that just reading about it is not going to make a change. But if you had someone that came to you and said, you know what? Man, I've been a horrible person in my life. I've made a lot of horrible mistakes in my life. But I'm understanding now how big God's plan is for my life. I'm understanding now that God loves me no matter what. I understand how much God has forgiven me. I understand how big God's grace is in my life. And I want to live a life. I'll tell you what, I'm done with that. I'm going to live a life that pleases Him now. I'm going to do my best to go forward. I'm going to do my best to break the addiction. I'm going to do my best to go forward and be a light for God. I want to change. You're like, something's going on in the inside. Then what was it? It's grace. It's love. It's not the law. Because law produces no change. It's the grace. It's love that produces change in our life. Fear-based Christianity produces no change, no fruit. It produces no fruit, no change in our life. When you just use fear-based as a way of getting around, it doesn't happen. The fruit comes through grace. I want to give you an example today. You know, growing up, I grew up in a fear-based church where I was taught that, man, when you have one sin, you better turn or burn. One sin, you are not qualified. One sin, not covered, man, you can miss heaven. One sin, and I lived my whole life in fear, and I had all these rules given to me about what I could do and couldn't do, you know, and everything was a sin. I called it the no fun church, you know. Everything was a sin. I was like, well, that's not a sin. Yeah, it is. I'm like, show me the Bible. They're like, shut up. That was me as a kid. I was like, show me in the Bible, and I'll believe you, but until you show me the Bible, I don't believe it. Well, why? Well, they told us that way. That's why. We just don't do that. There's a different standard we got to have. We got to do. And I'm like, okay, I get that, but show me the Bible. And so I began to question at a young age even why we could and couldn't do things. And I began to get this fear-based Christianity, and what it caused in me was this, is that I never felt good enough. I mean, I go to youth camp. I come back fired up for God. Like, man, I'm going to change. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I come back, and then a week later, I start making mistakes, slipping into some of my old patterns. I was like, and I would feel so defeated. I would feel like, you know what? God, you can never use me. God, you'll never use me. God, you can never use me. I'm so bad. And I could tell you to the point where I came very close in my life to giving up. I was like, there's no sense of trying. There's no way I can live up to this perfection they're putting on me. There's no way. There's no way. And it wasn't until I began to read the scripture for myself. And I began to read it and understand it. And I began to get this revelation of grace. I'm like, somebody's been lying to me all this time. These people lied to me. That's the way I felt. Now, it was not done in bad intentions. They were just trying to put the fear of God in me because they didn't want me going out living like a heathen. But it caused this traumatic thing in my life where I never felt good enough. But once I understood God's grace, it radically transformed my life. It transformed my heart. It transformed my purpose. It transformed my future. And I would not be here today if I didn't hear and get this revelation of how big God's grace is in our life. It will change you. I am no longer married to the law, I've been married to grace. Don't enter into the new marriage of grace trying to serve your ex. You know, if statistics are right, about half the people in this room have gone through a divorce in your life. You've remarried, some of you more than once. And today, I want to tell you this, that there's no way, if you get a divorce and remarry, there's no way that marriage can be successful if you're holding the hurt, the wrong done to you from the previous marriage. If you bring that into your new marriage, you start treating your husband like he's a dirt, start treating your husband like he's treating, you're going, well, you just don't take me for granted. You're not going to be faithful to me, or you're not going to do this and that. And the hurt that you have from that first marriage, if you bring it into the second marriage and you treat that person, even though they never done anything to you, wrong. I mean, your marriage is not going to make it. It's not going to make it. Because you can't live tied up to that ex. Let me put it another way. How about this? What if you remarried, and after being remarried for 6 months, you went to your spouse and said, listen, I need to tell you something. I love you. You're my spouse. I love you. You're my husband. But after work, I've been stopping by my ex's house. I've been going in. I've been cleaning his house. I've been cooking his meals. I've been doing his laundry. I just wanted you to know I've been going. What do you think would happen? No! Are you crazy? Why are you going back and serving your ex when you're married to me? Now listen, I understand if you got children involved, then it needs to be a place of being able to have a harmony between the two of you, a place of being civil and be able to work it out, okay? But listen, there ain't nobody going to allow you to go back and serve your ex and still be married to somebody different. And let me tell you this, God doesn't want us doing the same thing in our life when we get married to God through grace, and then we go back and try to serve the law. God, you saved me by grace. God, you saved me by your love and your mercy. But now I'm going to go back to the law and try to fulfill it all. I'm going to try to walk this thing out so I can please you. Stop trying to serve your ex and walk in the freedom. Walk in the joy. Walk in the empowerment that serving God and this new marriage we're in brings to us. Number two, write this down. Don't enter your new marriage this way. The law cannot empower us. Listen, when you serve the law, it cannot empower us. It brings no power for change in our life. We just read the scripture. Let's look at it again, Romans 7:4. That you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. See, when I serve the law, it has no power to produce fruit in my life. Never have I heard anybody say, I follow the law, it's producing fruit in my life. But when you marry to grace, that's when it produces fruit in my life. Oh, I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. It was freely given to me out of love. That produces in me a desire to say, I will live the rest of my life serving you. I will live the rest of my life giving to you. I will live the rest of my life saying, God, anything you want from me. God, I want to learn to sell out to you. God, whatever you ask of me, I say yes. Why? Because love motivates. Love brings fruit. The law brings guilt, condemnation, and death. It impacts us to change. Galatians 2:21, look what it says now. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Think about it. If we become righteous by fulfilling the law and keeping all these laws and rules, if that's how we become righteous, then why did Jesus die on the cross? Let me put it another way to you. God would be the cruelest father ever known to make his son leave heaven, come down to earth, be in a place where people rejected him, hurt him, abused him, went through the most painful death ever imagined, taking the whips, taking the crown of thorns, taking the nails on the cross all for us. If that was the way of becoming righteous was through fulfilling the law, then God would be a cruel father. But it's not. There's only one way to become righteous, and that's through the blood of Jesus. It's not by fulfilling the law. Romans 7:6, look what it says now. But now we have been released. Everybody say that word, released. Released from the law. The word released here is the same word we would use today as discharged. Do we have any military or ex-military people in the house? Raise your hand. Come on, all those who served in our military, raise your hand. Come on, let's give them a big hand. Yeah. See, the military people are disciplined. Majority of them came to the first service. We had all a bunch in the first service. They still getting up early, coming to the first service. You know, you have been in the military. You know this to be true, that when you get discharged from the military, that your brain doesn't discharge right away, does it? That you still maybe have a lot of the same rules and regulations that are flowing through your head, and you still realize that, man, I've got to please this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to follow this schedule. It can be hard to break away when you become a civilian again, right? It becomes hard to break away from that. And that's what he's talking about. We've been discharged from the law, having died to what we were held by. So that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the law, the letter. We have been discharged from the law so that we can serve now the Spirit, the newness of what God has for us. Stop trying to earn your salvation and your place in the kingdom of God. You've already got it when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. His blood has now covered you and has secured your place in the kingdom of God. Now walk like a child of the King. Talk like a child of the King. Have authority as a child of the King. Walk with confidence as a child of the King. Not because you followed the law, but because someone loved you enough to adopt you into the family of God and say, this one belongs to me. He is now my family. This is grace. It will set you free. See, the kingdom of God is all about opposites, right? It's really, God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. They're higher than you. You can't comprehend it. That's why when we hear things like, hey, if you want to receive, you got to first give. It's an opposite, right? I want to receive a blessing. We get a give. The Bible says this, that if you want to be first, you need to be last. The Bible says if you want to have authority, you need to get under authority. The Bible says if you want to truly live, you got to learn to truly die. I mean, see, the kingdom of God, it's all about opposites. And so our mind has a hard time computing this. And so in our mind, we think, all right, we got to preach on the law. We got to preach on do's and don'ts because otherwise people will just go out there and live how they want to, Pastor. What we got to realize is this. No, that's not what motivates people to change. People are not motivated to change because we come and preach a bunch of do's and don'ts. People are motivated to change when we can open their eyes to how much God really loves them. We can open their eyes to how much they've been forgiven. We can open their eyes to how much the blood of Jesus sets us free and empowers us to live out a new purpose in our life. This will set people free. I'm not afraid to preach on grace. And I had people say, I'm afraid to preach that, Pastor, because people will just go out and live how they want to. If you preach that, they'll go out and they just live how they want to. And this is my opinion. I think I stated it last week. I'll state it again today. If hearing a message of grace gives you the mindset, all right then, I can just go out here and do what I want now. I can live how I want to. I've already got fire insurance. I'm okay. I can do what I want. If you have that mentality, I don't believe you're really saved. Because true salvation comes and says, oh, I understand. I understand how big grace was for my life. And because I understand how much it covers every sin in my life, I now want to spring forward and live for God like never before. I want to love God like never before. I want to be faithful like never before. I want to give like never before. I want to give of myself like never before. I want to serve like never before. I want to talk like never before. I want to worship like never before. I want to know who God is. Who is this man who came out of nowhere and swept me off my feet and took me to a place where I had no way of earning it, but only because of his grace, he gave it to me. I owe my life to him. So when you get a revelation of salvation, it changes your motive. It changes your heart. I'm going to close with this last point. Only love can justify and empower. Only love can justify and empower us. 1 Corinthians 15, look what it says in verses 56 and 57. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is what? Are you reading that today? Look what it says. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what he's saying is simply this, that the sin strength is found when we try to save ourselves. When we try to say, I've done this, I'm good enough because I've done all these things for God. He goes, that's what the, you know why? Satan uses that. Satan comes to you. If you're a Christian today, you know how Satan attacks you? You're not good enough. You didn't follow God's laws. You didn't please God. God's not happy with you. You didn't do this right. You didn't do that right. And Satan will continually bring that law into your mind, into your heart, and make you think you are not loved by God based on you not following the law. So, the law, strength, the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory. But victory, are you hearing me today? But victory is through the relationship with Jesus Christ, which opens the door back up to the Father, not based on any law that I followed, but only based on the blood of Jesus, which covers my sins, which erases my sins, and gives me a new purpose and a new destiny in my life. Somebody give God a praise for that. Amen. Come on. Once I realized I was married to grace, it radically changed my life, changed my future. I can tell you I wouldn't be here today if I had not got this message and understood it and let it come in and sink into my heart. I want you to bow your heads. Today, as we close, I want to ask you the question. You say, Pastor, I'm here and I need God to change my life. It all starts first. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you allowed that blood to be applied to your life? If you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's your day. Today's your day. We won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you, I promise you. But today, if you say, you know what, Pastor? I want to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. The Bible says we must also confess it with our mouth. I'm ready to do that today. I'm ready to make Jesus Christ my Lord and cover my life with his blood from the cross. If you're ready to do that today, nobody's looking at me. Can you just raise your hands? That's me. I'm sitting there ready to do that. Thank you. Anybody else want to join them? Come on, raise it high. Thank you. I see those hands. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else? Come on, raise it high today. If that's you, say, I'm ready today. Today's my day. This is what we're going to do. We had those who raised their hands. And so if you raised your hands today, I want you to say this prayer with me out loud. As Christians sitting around you, we'll help you as well. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess you as Lord of my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will serve you. I will follow after you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, come on now, put your hands together. This is why we're here. This is why we're here today, for you, that you would make that decision. Well, let's lift our hands one more time. I want to just give praise to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you, God, that your love has set us free. We declare today that, God, we will no longer be a slave to the law. We'll no longer be married to the person that you've set us free from. But God, today I pray there's a freedom to walk in your grace, to be married to your grace. God, there's people being set free today. They need to hear this life-changing word. And I declare that the word of the Lord is going to come alive in their heart. They're going to have a new passion, a new freedom, God, to serve you, to love you. And God, I thank you that your word brings change and fruit in our life. And we say together, amen. Come on, give God a hand clap. You received this word today. Before you leave today, let me remind you of this. We've got the food truck out there. If anybody wants to purchase some lunch, you can purchase it to go. If you want it's a nice day, if you want to eat it outside, if you want to come back in here and sit down in a coffee shop or in here, you're more than welcome to do that. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. We love you. God bless you.